15. The World Trade Organization, WTO, and China. As China has been admitted to the World Trade Organization, WTO, it is very apt at this time to compile some important data about this international organization. The conception of the WTO took place during the 1995 Uruguay round of talks of the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trades, GATT. The WTO actually replaced GATT. This latter organization, a composite of many countries, was formed after the Second World War to preside over the stabilization of trade among nations. The new organization, the WTO, is dedicated to allocating the resources of the world by using fairer trade practices and providing economic security for the more vulnerable, less developed nations. The WTO provides the apparatus for making this happen through increased cooperation among member countries. The execution of such agreements will be instrumental in enhancing the esteem of less developed members and will provide a more stable infrastructure for profitable trade for members of the WTO. Is there a way to describe, in simple terms, what this is all about? What underlies this international pursuit of freer trade among nations? Students of introductory economics would recognize the theory of comparative advantage. Briefly, this economic theory states that a country can produce all or most goods and services more efficiently than most or all other countries, but still gain from specializing in production and trading with other nations. They not only receive economic benefits for themselves, but also help other countries achieve similar benefits in the process. Let's look at a simple example. Assume that there are two countries, Alpha and Beta, that produce the same two products, bananas and office desks, and nothing else. We will assume that each country has 200 units of productive resources. Resources such as land, labor and capital, used in the production of bananas and desks. In this case, we will use labor. Before trading each country, using the productive resources each has available, might produce the following combinations. Bananas, in tons. Alpha, 300, 100 units of labor. Beta, 100, 100 units of labor. Total, 400. Desks. Alpha, 100, 100 units. Beta, 25, 100 units. Total, 125. Assuming that each country used the same amount of productive resources in the production of both bananas and desks, you will notice that Alpha produced more bananas and more desks than Beta, but produced desks more efficiently, higher ratio 4:1, than bananas, 3:1. Alpha produced 4 times as many desks as Beta, given equal units of resources, 100 units, and 3 times as many bananas as Beta. Alpha has a comparative advantage in producing desks, and therefore could make economic gains by transferring some of its labor resources into the production of desks. If the two countries were agreeable to specialize and trade with each other, the following might be possible. Bananas, in tons. Alpha, 210, 70 units. Beta, 200, 200 units. Total, 410. Desks. Alpha, 130, 130 units. Beta, 0, 0 units. Total, 130. This example shows that, by specializing by each partner, total production of bananas would increase from 400 tons to 410 tons, and the production of desks would increase from 125 to 130 desks. This means that more of each product would be available to both countries to share through specialization and trade. This may be an oversimplification of the concept of comparative advantage, but it is the economic principle which explains why countries want more free trade and why China wants to join the WTO. It also explains the United States' ambitious pursuit of freer trade arrangements throughout the world. Immersed for more than a decade in negotiations, the climax has been reached for China. Its official membership in the WTO commenced in December 2001. It has not been an easy road to reach this goal, and the country will now embark upon even tougher road of more formidable challenges. Many issues surrounding China's bid are not only economic, but also social in nature. For example, the United States has amplified the issue of human rights in discussions between itself and China. The reasons for this obsession over human rights are not readily evident, but in some quarters suggestions for it have been offered. Since the end of the Cold War and the demise or fall of the Soviet Union, the United States has had no clear opponent to justify the work of its many agencies that were originally assimilated to deal with former Cold War opponents. The promotion of international human rights allegedly has filled part of this void. To become the major target of the new direction in American foreign policy, and it has become commonplace for China in particular. It should be noted that there are some current members of the WTO that have worse human rights records than that of China, but were not treated in the same manner. Also, it is erroneous to suggest that the United States itself is completely innocent of human rights violations. This is a major contradiction in current American foreign policy. It is also suggested that the real threat to the United States is that China is a huge country with a robust economy that has been growing by leaps and bounds over the last 20 years. Henceforth, a fear is growing that the potential economic strength of China will threaten the prevalent position of the United States in world affairs.